Esposito. I didn't get a chance to hear that aspect of it as well. I'm sorry that I dumped the show the way I had to, but I really, really had to do that. So praise the Lord. It's all good. I had a couple of experiences yesterday I want to share with you right off the bat, if I can, before we dive into it. I spent a full day in a hearing in Canton, Ohio, Stark County, Ohio, with Tom Condit and Doug Hagman and Russ Dizdar, Steve Quayle, and Craig Sawyer. And, you know, to sit there and hear the testimony that those guys delivered in the courtroom, I'm not name dropping, okay? I'm just telling you. It has to do with a defamation lawsuit. And to sit there and listen to those four men be put under oath and to hear their resumes and to hear the things that they've done and their outreaches to rescue particularly trafficked children. That's what Russ Dizdar does. That's what Craig Sawyer does. That's what they all do. That's what Doug Hagman's about. That's what Dizdar's about. And to hear those guys speak yesterday about their efforts to rescue children satanically, ritually abused. I don't know how many times that was mentioned in the courtroom yesterday, probably for the first time ever. And to hear those guys talk about the things that they had done and things that they had accomplished, and to think that they were being assaulted and attacked by internet hacks. And it was one of the most impactful moments of my life to sit there and listen to those guys. Those guys are, yeah, that's why Hagman wasn't on. Yeah. We were together yesterday. And I'm not trying any way, shape or form, trying to sound like I run with those guys. Okay. I don't, I can see Russ is a friend. Hagman's a friend. I know Steve. I don't think I've ever personally ever met Craig, but we're kind of all in the same circles, as you all understand. And so I understand the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune that comes your way when you're simply trying to do something right. You're simply trying to do something good. The Bible says, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And I sat there and I listened to that testimony yesterday, and it was, my goodness. Folks, there are heroes among us that we have no feeling for. We don't have no understanding of. And I would tell you this, I'm not going to do this on this show today, but the whole idea of child trafficking. Did you know that that is a larger financial industry than the drug industry? Did you guys know that? There's more money made through child trafficking than the drug industry. And it's right before our very eyes. And I was struck as I was sitting here. I was just an observer. I'm just an observer. Tom Condit lives in Cincinnati, so he drove up here and spent the night, and we rode up yesterday together. And I was just an observer in the courtroom. There was, social distancing and all that. It wasn't, so it was just me. I was the only really true observer that was in the courtroom. As they were listening, I thought, why do we hate our children? We talk about our children being a top priority and all that stuff, and we murder them in abortion. We sit back and we allow them to be trafficked, child trafficking. If you had any idea of the stuff that Russ Dizdar has come across and has seen, and Craig Sawyer, things he's come across. Why will not America rise up and protect our children? JR, we put them in public schools. I'm going to talk about some of that this morning. What is this love-hate relationship we have with our offspring? It's baffling to me, folks. It's just baffling to me. And here to see the numbers of children who are being trafficked and children who are being stolen and children who are being abused and satanic, ritually abused survivors. And I'm listening to the magistrate who's hearing the case yesterday, and I wonder if she'd even heard satanic, ritually abused. I wonder if she even knew what that meant. I wonder if how many of you even here today even know what it means, satanic, ritually abused, and how common it is in the United States of America that young children are abused in satanic rituals. All you have to do is look what happened to us when we went to the mounds. We just went down to the serpent mounds, and look at the pushback we got from the enemies, the agents, the whatever, the emissaries of Satan. Look how powerful that they are out there, folks. It's unbelievable. So I just wanted to say publicly, what an honor. What an honor to hear, God, my Lord, to hear what the efforts of Craig Sawyer's put forth and things that Doug, I'm sorry, Russ Dizdar goes through. God help us. God help us. And then I began to ask myself, I was conflicted this morning as I was trying to do show prep because I had a grieving in my spirit, and I have one even right now. I have a grieving in my spirit. I want to use a bad word for impact, okay? Tune all out if you want to. Why don't we give a shit? Why doesn't the average Christian care? Why don't we care? I don't get it. I don't get it, man. For the life of me, I don't get it. I get it why the world doesn't care. Although, can I tell you something? The world cares more about what they care about than we do. Their commitment to their God is all in, baby. And sometimes their God's them. Their God's them. And then those of us who claim to be children of God, child of the Almighty, joint heirs to the throne, those of us who are not ashamed of the gospel, why don't we care? Why don't we care?
Coach.
Yes.
We're taking that child rescue, that child trafficking course in our church. We're getting trained on that, on all the stuff. It's intense, and the stuff they're telling us is crazy. After Pastor Bill let them two guys present that in our church on Sunday morning, people's jaws were dropped open. They were shocked at what they told us. Pastor Bill stood up afterwards. He said, I brought them two men in here. He said, for the purpose of, we were rescued to rescue. Why are we not?
Because we don't care. We don't care. We're afraid. We don't care. We don't care. And I think of today, there's 89 of us in the queue today. And I was having a conversation with, I think maybe it was Conda yesterday as we were driving down the road. And I was bragging on you guys, all the great things that we've been trying to do and efforts that we've been making. I guess maybe it was at lunch yesterday with Dizdar and Hagman and just talking about the boots on the ground and how I see men and women who grow spiritually simply because they engage their faith. Why the hell won't we engage our faith? Why won't our leaders encourage us to engage our faith? Why won't our Christian leaders take us to the streets and engage our faith? Why won't our Christian leaders stand up and say, enough killing of children already, enough of it already? Why won't we get engaged? Why don't we care? It's 60 million, 70 million babies we've murdered. 70 million of them. And so we sit back in fear of the Supreme Court and in fear of the police. And God help us. It grieves me, man. It just grieves me. And so go ahead, Rod. Go ahead, Rod.
Oh, I think of years ago, they would put kids' faces on milk boxes.
Yeah. They ran out of milk. They ran out of milk boxes, I think, so Roger.
I always knew, there's always these hundreds of thousands of missing kids. You know what I'm saying? The numbers are staggering, and it's a better understanding now. It's the trafficking. That's what's been taking place.
Yeah, well, do this. Pull up. It says Ramsey's email, Spencer. Get that ready, and then let me go to another area, and then I'm going to come back. This entrance, this beginning of this show is pretty much about me, okay? So just bear with me here a minute. Last night I had an opportunity. I was invited to be on Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has a prayer gathering type thing she does once a week. And last night she asked me to come on and be the guest on Instagram. I didn't even know you could do it on Instagram. Now, Instagram isn't like this where, you have a queue and you can see people and they get there. It's just when the show began, it was just me and the moderator and I don't know if anybody's there. I know there are a lot of people part of it, right? Well, Dr. Tenpenny was blocked from Instagram last night for some reason. Well, we know why, don't we? She's anti-vaccination. She's maybe the world's leading anti-vax person. And so she couldn't even get on her Instagram account. So there I am on the show as a guest, and her assistant, Michelle, who was trying to put everything together, all of a sudden Michelle has to be the host, and she's not prepared to be the host. And I said, listen, if you don't mind, I'll run and I'll just grab it and run with it. Just get out of the way. And so she turned it over to me, and I did what I do. And there were 75 or 80 people in there. See, there's no interaction like this. There's chat. I can see what's going on in chat, but there's no interaction. And then I've been on for about 40 minutes of doing what we do here at Coach Dave Live, and all of a sudden, boom, the count shut down. Boom, I was off. Everything was off. Couldn't figure out why. I didn't know what happened. Still don't know what happened. So, I sat here for a few minutes, and it didn't come back. So I walked upstairs, and I took about 5 or 10 minutes, and I don't know what I was doing, changed my shirt and getting ready for the night to be over. And all of a sudden, my phone rings, and it's Michelle again. And she says, we have to do another session. I said, what? She says, yeah, we have to do another session. They want more. They want more. And so I went and I did another about 40-minute session on what we do here. And the reaction in that queue was unbelievable, folks. Listen, hear me. The message that we are bringing, they are so hungry to hear it. And I spoke about, because I believe I spoke speaking mainly to a female crowd, and I spoke to them directly about the wimpiness of their husbands spiritually. And oh, my goodness, the chat's blowing up because it's the heart of it. It's the heart of what's going on. And I was thinking today as I was coming down those steps, we have the ability to inspire and organize and motivate men. And there ain't a pastor in freaking America that'll give me the chance to say anything to their crew. Not a pastor anywhere. They stick us in the corner. We got the world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. We're in the war for Western civilization and for the Christian way of life. And not a pulpit in America will open. That's not true. Okay, that you understand. You understand my point. Patty cake bakers, man. That's American Christianity. And those people who are woke and understand, they're tired of patty cake. They're tired of it.
Amen.
And it encouraged
me. Amen.
It encouraged me. It encouraged me that we're on the right trail, man. We're on the right. I couldn't care less. What mainstream Christianity thing? I couldn't care less. I couldn't care. Hey, you know how long it takes me to hit the delete button on those stupid emails that come in telling me I'm too hard? You have any idea how easy that is? Just delete. So I was encouraged by that last night as well, and just wanted to get that off my chest. I came across this today from Dave Ramsey. It's been on the internet for a little bit, but this just kind of flies in. I'm not a big Dave Ramsey fan. Can I tell you why I'm not a big Dave Ramsey fan? The same reason I'm not a big fan about we have no desire to impact the culture. We simply want to impact ourselves in our own lives and our own families. Am I my brother's keeper? Let me back up a little bit. Child trafficking, and we put kids in public schools. Are you shiting me? You really think that we're going to continue to have a Christian society when we give our children unchristian education? Do you really think that? And you think that you take our children and we send them to Sunday school and they draw pictures of rainbows and they draw pictures of giraffes and they tell Bible stories? Do you really think that we're going to be able to win this without a concerted effort to train a generation of Christian children to become Christian warriors coming behind us? Does anybody think it's even possible? Do you have any idea that the left has seized the schools and they seized your children and my children and they are indoctrinating them in the doctrines of demons every freaking day? And what does the pastor say in his church? Talks about how great the band is. And, oh, did you see that great football team? We love our Red Raiders. I mean, it is absolutely unbelievable. JR, they haven't go pray around the flagpole, right? And whose fault is that? What's the fault of cowardly mommies and daddies? Can I tell you the truth? It's the fault of cowardly mommies and daddies allowed to continue. And cowardly mommies and daddies who send in their kids into those hallowed halls of hell. And then we wonder why we don't have a Christian culture and a Christian society. Dave Ramsey said, this morning I realized that everything's about to change. No matter how I vote, no matter what I say, lives are never going to be the same. Amen. I've been confused by the hostility of family and friends. I look at people I've known my whole life, and they're so hate-filled that they agree with opinions they would never express on their own. Some of the things I hear people say, they couldn't have come up with that. They couldn't have come up with that on their own. No way. I think that I may well have entered the twilight zone. It says, you can't justify this insanity. We've become a nation that has lost its collective mind. We see other countries going socialist and collapsing, but it seems like it's a great new plan to us. Let's try it. Somehow it's un-American for the census to count how many Americans are in America. People who say there's no such thing as gender are demanding a female president. Universities that advocate equality discriminate against Asian Americans in favor of African Americans. Some people are held responsible for the things that happened before they were born, and other people are not held responsible for what they're doing right now. Criminals are caught red-handed and released to hurt more people. But stopping them is bad because it's a violation of the criminal's rights. People who've never owned slaves should pay for slavery reparations to people who've never been slaves. After legislating gender, if a dude pretends to be a woman, you're required to pretend with him. It was cool for Joe Biden to blackmail the president of Ukraine, but it's an impeachable offense if Donald Trump asks questions about it. People who have never been to college are told that we should pay the debts of college students who took out huge loans for their degrees. Immigrants with tuberculosis and polio are welcome, but you better be able to prove your dog's vaccinated, which is you got a mask. Irish doctors and German engineers who want to immigrate to the United States have to go through a rigorous vetting process, but any illiterate gangbanger who jumps the southern fence is welcomed in. Folks, there's something seriously wrong here. Christians, there's something seriously wrong. $5 billion for border security is too expensive, but $1.5 trillion for free healthcare is not. If you cheat to get into college, you go to prison. But if you cheat to get into the country, you get college for free. Somebody say amen. You don't have to. And pointing out all the hypocrisy, and pointing out all this hypocrisy somehow makes me a racist. Nothing makes sense anymore. No values, no morals, no civility, and people are dying of a Chinese virus. But it's racist to refer to it as Chinese, even though it came from China. We're clearly living in an upside-down world where right is wrong and wrong is right, where moral is immoral and immoral is moral, where good is evil and evil is good, where killing murderers is wrong, but killing innocent babies is right. Wake up, America. The great unsinkable ship Titanic, America, has hit an iceberg. It's taking on water and it's sinking fast. And I would say it's happening because those of us who are on the good ship Love Boat cruising through American Christianity on our way to heaven, we're the ones that are responsible. I went on a 19-minute tear. I got a lot more to give you today, but I just opened it up. I'm so behind the eight ball here this morning. Anybody want to say anything here? Anybody got their hand up? I'm looking here to see. Let me see here. Somebody come on in. You don't need invited. Come on in if you want to.
Okay.
Go, Joe.
You know, this morning I opened up my browser to get to the show, and I was just amazed. You know, they had these little snippets, you know, on your homepage on what you get on there. And I see this from CNN, Brian Stelter. Now it's sinking in. Wednesday's Capitol Hill riot was even more violent than it first appeared. When are we going to burn that building down?
The CNN building?
CNN building.
Yeah.
Okay. I look at all this stuff and we talk about how angry we get and, you know, and what you were talking about, how we, the state of our nation is because men and women ain't doing this and the pulpit's not doing that. You know, we have forgotten God has rules.
Amen.
And his rules are first. And if we don't go back to those, anything else that we write is bullshit.
Amen, Joe. Amen. And see, folks, I don't know if you're, so that I can make this orderly. If you do want to say something, put a hand up there so I can try to keep this somewhat order. Hey, folks, listen. See, the America, the original founding fathers, I'm going to show you some of that stuff here this morning. Christianity was the religion of America. And people say, well, they never mentioned Jesus anywhere. They didn't. Well, they didn't have to. It was understood. They understood who Almighty God was, right? We all understood that. And now the somehow along the line, there's been a great reset, and the great reset is that humanism has become the national religion of America. Humanism. Humanism is taught in our churches. Humanism is taught in our schools. Everywhere you look, it's about humanism. And they tell us there's a separation between the church and the state. Well, what church? What about the church of humanists? What about the church of Satan? Well, I mean, separation between the church and the state. And whether you realize it or not, if we don't accept Christianity, folks, you're going to adopt some type of what they call philosophy. But a philosophy is nothing more than a set of beliefs. It's a religion. It's a religion. And no matter what happens here in the next few years, a few days, whatever, however this whole thing plays out, if we don't fight and demand a return to Christianity as underlying values of this nation, we'll just move 4 years from now. We'll just have to do this all over again. And why are they able to get away with it? We got all these millions and millions and millions of churches who are bowing their knees to the government, to an atheistic, humanistic government. No pushback. No standing up. And it's amazing. See, to me, it's amazing. And we are going to have to get a more radicalized form of Christianity if we're going to topple over the Church of the Humanist, which is certainly controlling America. Go ahead, Randy. That's the only hand I see up right now. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I am so excited, not because Trump's going to get in that 4 years. He's, and you've said this for ever since I've met you, Coach. Donald Trump's just the instrument. He's the opener. He's the exposer. It's our job, and this is what we're going to do, Coach, the new church, the real ecclesia. It's going to be a proactive bunch, not a reactive or no active bunch. Coach, so just to me, this is all water under the bridge. I'm looking back. I'm going to see you guys. You're not going to be, if you don't want to be part of what God's going to do in this nation and globally, then I'm sorry. You stay in your little dead zone. Amen. I'm saying bye, Coach. We need to just look back and say, like Saul, God told Saul or Samuel, he said, Samuel is done. Look, get your horn of oil and go. Coach, we said this a year or two ago. We need to just let them go, cut them loose. And we need to be what we are. We are the new church. It's that simple. This Amen. Is what we're doing. You what you're doing. We are the movement.
We are. Whether Trump wins or loses, folks, we got to move forward here. We cannot miss this opportunity. Paul Webb, come on in, Paul.
Yeah, Coach. I just want to say that what you read there, that article, is the new American exceptionalism, socialism.
Yes, it is.
And what we're becoming is it's a patriot to be a socialist now. That's what they're trying to tell you.
That's right. That's right.
And we are the radicals.
Amen. I receive that one, brother. I do receive that one. We are the radicals. Come on in, Clay.
Yeah, I want to tie something into this. One of the most disheartening things I ever saw, or heart-wrenching things, was after 9/11. We had millions of people put American flags all across this country. And then as time went past, I watched all those American flags sit out there in the rain and get tattered and torn, and they had to fall in people's flower beds before they picked them up and threw them in the trash.
That's the truth.
And that's what's going to happen right here. If Trump gets back in office and they open those churches back up, all these people are going to go back in their churches, and they're going to get comfortable, and they're going to be thankful. Well, a bunch of us that are in this group did not forget about what happened on 9/11. It woke us up, and we never went back to sleep. So what we're going to do is capture the people who got woke up with what happened right now. And the ones that don't go back to sleep, we're going to grab them and bring them into this fold.
That's right.
And we're going to run with it.
That's right, Clay. That's right, brother. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it's absolutely right that the churches are not telling the quote Christians, the news or the truth about what the situation in our country is. And the media is definitely, they're as bad as the churches. They're about the same.
Yeah.
We have been trying for years to wake the church up. It's time we try change our focus to the media and start forcing them through economic pressure or whatever we can. If we boycott every company that pays for advertising on ABC News, and we let them know that those companies know that we are not buying their products because they support ABC News. And until ABC News starts telling the truth under pressure from the advertisers, those advertisers are not going to get a penny from any American that gives a crap about the country. Then maybe if we put our focus on the media, and there's other focus we can put on other than just the economic, but let's start with the economic. We can have a chance of influencing that. It's been proven we have zero chance of influencing the church.
Amen. Rachel, hey, come on in. Rachel.
Good morning, Coach. Wow, a lot to say. Let me just say that I think all of us feel like our whole lives at some point are a psyop. Okay. Yeah. At 11, when I was 11, I can remember being reprimanded by my teacher for not being a feminist. I didn't even know what a feminist was. So I was pretty sure I wasn't one. I started working when I was 13 and I haven't quit because that's what that's what you're supposed to do. I went to school to be a teacher and found out that teachers do anything but teach.
Amen.
So I started my own business, but you still have to raise and be able to support and provide for your children. I remember when my kids were babies, I took them to their very first protest at a tea party, only to have my businesses attacked for supporting the tea party.
Amen.
So to answer your question, why don't we stand up? Well, there's just a couple reasons. I could go on forever because every time people stand up, they're smacked, stomped down, or killed, like our friend Phil Haney. Just think of all the good people you know that have been slaughtered. That's why people can't stand up. And then when they do, they get all of their platforms stripped away from them.
Yes,
everybody,
ma'am,
who's worked for the walk away movement just has been deplatformed. Even their financial, even people, you can't even contribute to them. That is why the Bible says the beast is going to win. We know that. It doesn't mean we stop fighting. We go after the souls for Christ. And as far, I would love to boycott stuff, but you know what? They are backed now by the government and the big banks. We can't even boycott with our dollars anymore because they pay them to say what the narrative is.
Amen.
So our only hope is in God, is in Jesus, Lord Almighty.
Amen. So let's run. Let's put him on a flight pole. And let's run with him. MBH Digital. Come on in. No.
Primary mission.
Primary mission, Joe. Primary mission. Roger, come on in. Got a lot of hands in the air this morning. No? Craig Mickle, come on in.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 20, Coach. I think it synthesizes what's happening in our country. God is intervening in the heart and souls of men. Just as this passage says, we're guilty of it, and he's going to lead us through it.
What's the passage? Throw it up there for us real quick. What's the passage?
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 20.
Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 20.
And just of a side note, the three, when Jesus intervened with Satan, all three of the verses came out of Deuteronomy that he used against Satan when he was tempted in the wilderness.
Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Go ahead, Joe. You do it better than me. Verse 12. Did you hear me, Joe?
Okay. Yeah, I hear
you. Oh, you're away from the screen. I'm sorry, bud.
That's all right. Verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein.
Amen.
And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the God, the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God.
Wow.
Coach, please let me piggyback off that.
Go ahead.
And the reason why I say that, man, everything that was just spoken, what was the Lord, my hand is raised. This is exactly what I was going to say. As a pastor for 15 years, the biggest thing that I've seen people leave churches for is because God didn't answer their prayer. Because people feel if God doesn't do what they are asking him to do, they get angry with God. And people right now are in a position that if things don't go the way they want in America, that they're going to shake their fist at God, they're going to walk away from God, they're going to be angry and bitter with God. And that was the parallel, just like the Israelites did when God delivered them out of the bondages of Egypt. When you squeeze a ketchup bottle, you truly find out what's inside of this ketchup bottle. And this is exactly what might happen. I think about the rescue movement. Brother, you remember there used to be the day when people would just pile up and stop those abortion clinic doors, and they would be arrested and turned out on the street. But once they came out with that free access federal law, the rescue movement dissolved. It went away when the pressure was on. Brother, this is the tipping point that I think we're at. We have nothing to sit here and think that we have any righteous demand of God, that God is going to deliver America. Whether he does or doesn't, it doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, brother, in my spirit, what I see right now is that the pressure that is on America is that if he does not deliver America, and he's justified in not, that many Christians, the Joel Osteen churches, are then going to be bitter against God.
Myra, come on in.
Yes, good morning. To God be the praise and glory. He's mighty God. And I'm marching on with the light and salt brigade. Yes. Thank you.
We're making a difference, man. We just got to listen. I don't worry about the guy beside me. I'm doing my job. I hope he's doing his. I'm doing mine. I want to connect. Look, I Paul, you're still up there. Did you want to say something? Anybody, Craig, Jeff, somebody? I don't want to.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that basically, you know, most dangerous thing is to say, you know, God's will, because in the back of your, what if God's will is not to do what we think
he should do?
And I'm being very quiet when I say this, because my wife might be listening, because she's very much involved. But, you know, I'm preparing my heart as if Trump doesn't pull this out.
I think so. We have to be prepared.
And that's what I'm, that's really what I, in the back of my mind, I'm just thinking, you know,
foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'm going to shift gears here in a minute. Randy, did you want to come in? Randy, your hand's up. I didn't know if you wanted to or not.
Coach, yeah, I want to just say one thing, and okay. This is not a scold at all. Anybody take it like for what you want, but we have to be really careful to not put ourselves in a template that's not legitimate for us today. Yeah. I know we're real quick, and I've done it many, many times, but we like to find a template that fits us and looks like, oh, that one fits me and right now. And it might, but it might not, Coach. It may look like, oh, that's where we're at. And it may not. This is what Paul's saying. This isn't the will of God, then that's fine. But because, Coach, we have got many, many prophetic confirmations, you can use those and say, this is where God's taking us. Or you can just throw them out and not even acknowledge them and just say, well, it'll be what it'll be. Okay. I'm in the group, Coach. I want to say this right to everybody so they'll know. I am in the group where God has shown us where we're going. I believe that with all my heart. If the ship goes down, I'm on that ship.
Amen.
To the end, Coach. I'm on it. And I believe that Trump's in. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't even care. I see the end, and that's the ship I'm going to stay on and for now, all for good.
Amen. Amen, Randy. Amen. Jeff, did you want to say something?
Just real quick, I was talking to Tom Branstall the other day after he got back with us. And, you know, over the years with John Freshwater and the years of FCA and the schools, middle school and high school, we spent with Freshwater, the coach in high school baseball. I come up the other day. I don't know if the Lord laid this on me or not. I'm going to pray about it. But where's the house of bondage? Them stinking schools. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking the other day, I told Tom, I said, you know where I ought to be? We had to get over there outside that school building at 220 when 2,000 or 3,000 kids are released. And I thought, then it added on to it. I thought, you know what I could do? I could go there and park at that Babe Ruth field right there where they'll stop at the traffic light, because now they're going to build another brand new church right there at the corner by the high school to draw the kids in. It ain't built yet, but they're going to break ground. So I thought, Tom, why don't we go over there, park that ice cream truck when it's going to warm up in about 60 days here, and we'll be outside of that school to draw them kids into that parking lot, that baseball field, and start getting after the youth that's in that stinking school, you know? So that's just an idea we're running by.
That's our future.
Right now, but it'd be a lot of kids. You know that.
Hey, Spencer, if you will, click on Return to God, Return to God. Paul, you're still up. You want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to say what Randy said is so true. That's why Philippians 4:5-7, I believe, talks about your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. The peace that passes all understanding,
yes, sir,
is so important because you have to have that right now because so many things are chaotic.
So here's what we have to ask ourselves, folks. The Bible says that if the Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So let's take the whole Donald. Let's say we're a year from here, and whoever our president is, if we even still have a country. The foundations have clearly been destroyed. The foundations in the church have clearly been destroyed. I was riding with Tom Condit yesterday. Tom is what he calls a real Catholic. He said most Catholics aren't Catholic. He still goes to the old Latin Mass and all that kind of stuff. And I got talking to him. I said, well, you know, Tom, when I was in the Catholic Church, man, you weren't allowed to be divorced. You weren't allowed to be divorced and be in the Catholic Church. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You couldn't eat meat on Friday. They had holy days of obligation. There were rules and regulations. Man, you had to follow. I said, the Catholic Church doesn't even do that anymore, Tom. That's just it's the same thing. If the foundations be destroyed, we have a pope right now that most Christians don't even think is Catholic, right? If the foundations be destroyed. And so we have forgotten the foundations. We've forgotten the foundations. And this morning, as I was doing some research, I wonder how many of you people, they talk about the separation between the church and state and, you know, we're losing our kids in schools and all that. This is the 50 preambles of the United States. I'm not going to read all of them, but every preamble of the United States mentions and gives credit and glory to Almighty God. Did you guys know that? And they tell us there's a separation between the church and state. And they've lied to us. This is a secular nation. Alabama, 1901, we the people of the state of Alabama, invoking the favor and guidance of Almighty God. Alaska, we the people of Alaska, grateful to God. Arizona, we the people of the state of Arizona, grateful to Almighty God for our liberties. Arkansas, we the people of Arkansas, grateful to Almighty God for our privileges. California, we the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God. Colorado, we the people of Colorado, with profound reverence for the supreme ruler of the universe. Connecticut, the people of Connecticut, acknowledging with gratitude the good providence of God. Delaware, through divine goodness, all men by nature have the rights of worshiping and serving their creator. Florida, we the people of the state of Florida, grateful to Almighty God. Georgia, we the people of Georgia, relying upon protection and guidance of Almighty God. Hawaii, we the people of Hawaii, grateful for divine guidance. Idaho, we the people, state of Idaho, grateful to Almighty God. Illinois, we the people of Illinois, grateful to Almighty God. Indiana, we the people of the state of Indiana, grateful to Almighty God. We the people of the state of Iowa, grateful to the supreme being for the blessings here to Kansas, we the people of Kansas, grateful to Almighty God. Kentucky, we the people of the Commonwealth, grateful to Almighty God. Louisiana, we the people of the state of Louisiana, grateful to Almighty God. Maine, even Maine, Jack, we the people of Maine, acknowledging with grateful hearts the goodness of our sovereign ruler of the universe. Maryland, we the people of the state of Maryland, grateful to Almighty God. Massachusetts, we the people of Massachusetts, acknowledging with grateful hearts the goodness of the great legislator of the universe in the course of his providence. Michigan, we the people of the state of Michigan, grateful to Almighty God. Minnesota, we the people of the state of Minnesota, grateful to God for our civil liberties and religious liberty. Mississippi, we the people of Mississippi, in convention assembled, grateful to Almighty God. We the people of Missouri, with profound reverence of the supreme ruler of the universe and grateful for his goodness. Montana, we the people of Montana, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of liberty. Nebraska, we the people, grateful to Almighty God. Nevada, grateful to Almighty God. New Hampshire, individual has natural and unalienable right to worship God according to his dictates. New Jersey, grateful to Almighty God for civil religious liberty, which he hath so long permitted us to enjoy, and looking to him for a blessing on our endeavors. Oh, my, grateful to Almighty God. New Mexico, New York, grateful for Almighty God for our freedom to secure our blessings. North Carolina, grateful to Almighty God, the southern sovereign ruler of the nations, for our civil, political, religious liberties, and acknowledging our dependence upon him for the continuance of those. North Dakota, we the people of North Dakota, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of civil liberties and liberty. Ohio, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom to secure its blessings. Oklahoma, Randy, and invoking the guidance of Almighty God in order to secure and perpetuate the blessings of liberty. Oregon, all men shall be secure in their natural right to worship Almighty God. Pennsylvania, we the people of Pennsylvania, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of liberty, religious liberty, civil, yada, yada, yada. Rhode Island, grateful to Almighty God. South Carolina, grateful to God for our liberties. South Dakota, grateful to Almighty God for our liberties. Tennessee, oh, that all men have a natural and indefeasible right to worship Almighty God. Texas, with gratitude and grace and benevolence of God. Utah, grateful to Almighty God for life and liberty. Vermont, whereas all government ought to enable the individual to compromise and enjoy the natural rights and other blessings that the author of the existence has bestowed on man. Virginia, religion or the duty which we owe our Creator can be directed only by reason, and that is the mutual duty of all to practice Christian forbearance, love, and charity towards one another. Washington, we the people of the state of Washington, grateful to the supreme ruler of the universe for our liberties. West Virginia, since through divine providence we enjoy the blessings of civil, political, and religious liberty, we the people of West Virginia reaffirm our faith and constant reliance upon God. Wisconsin, Rob, the people of Wisconsin, grateful to Almighty God. Wyoming, we the people of the state of Wyoming, grateful to God for our civil, political, and religious liberties established this Constitution. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's what, folks, that's what we're looking at. That's why we are in the mess that we are in, and that we once again need to legalize Jesus. Come on, Silver, come on, come on in.
I love you. You cannot all 50 states and even territories probably have constitutional preambles. God Almighty God. Who the hell's God? Okay? Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, is the God that I worship and adore.
And amen.
Every state of this nation acknowledges this in their constitutions. Okay? This country is toast.
Hey, Cody.
Yeah, Jack.
Hey, some of the people would tell you that that preamble, that's just a statement. That's not law.
Yeah,
that's Article right. 1, right below that, Article 1, Section 3 in the Maine State Constitution written in 1820, all individuals have a natural and unalienable right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own consciences, and no person shall be hurt, molested, or restrained in that person's liberty or estate for worshiping God in the manner and season most agreeable to the dictates of that person's own conscience, nor for the person's religious professions or sentiments, provided that that person does not disturb the public peace.
Jack, if a person does not have the right to express their religious beliefs, they do not have liberty. If you need permission from somebody else to pray, when and where you can pray, you are not free. We do not have liberty, and we need to re-exert that once again. RJ Barnett, come on in. You're up next. Sorry, I should have given you a little bit more notice there, RJ. Maybe didn't want to. Rochelle, jump in here again.
Oh, there must be RJ. A form to sign for freedom, Coach.
What's that?
There must be a form to sign to free.
Yeah, got to get a driver's license to drive. Rochelle.
Hello. Hey. I'm just checking to make sure I'm on.
I just wanted to say that they want you to forget that your rights come from God.
That's right.
That's about what the government has done. And listen, guys, take 5 minutes and read Romans 1, and you will that is exactly what is happening, has happened to America. I don't know if it's reversible. I don't know.
But we got to try. Yeah. RJ, do you want in, RJ? I'm sorry.
I believe I finally got in here.
Yeah, you're in.
Good deal. All right, friends, listen, this is wonderful. The preamble's there, and you know that our Father hears the prayers of his children above those that don't even know they have a covenant. And we may not feel that we know how this election turns out, how this thing unfolds, but he's called upon us to pray for those in authority. And especially we have the ability to pray for the righteous in authority to prevail over the wicked who are in authority in different places, who've snaked their way in there or whatever. And there's a lot of wicked senators extorted and so forth. So when we pray for President Trump, and I hear a lot of, you know, in my own family, people, well, I just need to see some evidence that things are going right. All this naysaying, really. He calls on us to, with the voice of faith, to approach his throne.
Amen.
Knowing what his will is, and knowing that his will is that justice prevail, we need to do that. And obviously, as a fellowship, we can. It's a good thing to pray for those in authority, according to 2 Timothy 1:7. To do that just a short prayer here today, and also for those that need some encouragement. You know, Mike Adams has put out several excellent podcasts in the past 3 days. Sunday, Monday. If you want to find some evidence, some indications that President Trump is moving and positioning to do what needs to be done to preserve this nation against the subversion, there are things that are going that are in position. So the role of the saints is to prevail in prayer.
Amen.
Regardless of whether I know in my mind what's going to happen for certain, I know what God's will is. And that is that we continue to speak victory, praying for the righteous and the just to prevail, the enemy to be confused and destroyed, to be caught in his own snares. And so Father, let us be faithful. Let us not, and with our friends and our family, let us just pause for a moment and say, remind them who we are in Christ and that we have a loving Father. He's willing. He's willing for us to prevail. That's his will. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, folks.
Amen, brother.
Hey, folks, think of this. Prayer empowers action. I'm going to say it again. Prayer empowers action. Prayer alone is the stepsister of faith without works. Prayer without works is faith without works. You have to pray and you have to go. You have to pray and you have to act. The two must be mixed together. And for too long, Christians have hid in their prayer closets and have expected somebody else to go. Here I am, Lord. Send me, Lord. Here I am. Send me. Prayer mixed with action is what moves mountains.
If I make
that here.
Pastor Dale.
Hang on, too many of it. Hang on, too many of it. Too many of it. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay, yeah, I just want to say, you know, every time all of us have read the Bible, and Israel, every time God had to punish Israel as a nation, he did it by having either a foreign force come in and take over and run the country, or having a foreign force come in and take them out of the country and put them in slavery in another country.
That's true.
The other times he took action against peoples and nations is when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? We don't want that one.
No, we don't want that one for sure. Randy, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm trying to...
You know, we've got to accept the fact that, like Paul said, God's will may be that this nation has to undergo a cleansing like Israel had to go through.
Amen.
And Jeremiah talks about that, but there's a really good point. There's something positive to grab a hold of in Zephaniah.
Amen. Zephaniah
chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Seek ye the Lord and all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." That's the closest thing there is to a rapture in the Bible that I can find, is the sephar, the hiding of his true people during the times of trouble.
Amen. Try to get as many in here as I can. Randy, I got Randy, then I got Craig. Go, Randy.
Coach, Romans 12:2. We've read this 100 times. Okay. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that what? So that you may prove what the perfect, good, and acceptable will of God is," Coach.
Amen.
We can know the will of God. You know what, Coach? Look, there's three groups of people right now. There's the people that don't have a clue. There's the people that think, well, oh, I can see it. I can kind of see it, but I don't know. And then there's the people, and I don't know if I'm one of these. I hope I am. But, Coach, we know the will of God. Because why? Because we're not part of the world system. We've pulled out of it. We can see it. God was showing us. And we can not only know us, we can prove it, Coach.
Amen. Amen.
We can prove it. There's a difference. Everybody, listen, you gotta if you don't know the will of God, get on your face and lay down there and moan and cry, whatever you gotta do to find it. And you can get it. But you're gonna have to be willing to transform your mind, get out of the thinking of the system of all this, and you hear God for yourself.
Amen.
And then you can know, Coach.
We can know. Hey, Spencer, real quick, I want you to pull up the thing that says monkey virus. Come on in, Craig.
Just real quick there, Coach. Like Randy and I said, the template that we try to fit, I'm a very man of patterns, but we don't always have a template, but the nature of God never changes, okay? Mm-hmm. And God is sick. And when I had a great discussion with Randy yesterday, and I said, we're in the Laodicean church, and, you know, it's not hot or cold, and we think he vomits it out. Well, think of vomiting, you know, you have a little sputum. No, think of someone, if you've ever experienced projectile vomiting, the things that you heard yesterday in that courtroom are sickening to God. He's going to projectile vomit that information out into the public. So we're going to have, as a nation, to have this information in front of us. And what we do as a collective nation and how we hold those people responsible is going to be how God works with us in the future.
Amen.
The capital that we prayed against, that's the same thing that's happening here. He's projectile vomiting that information out into the public. And what we do is where our future is with the Lord.
Amen. Hey, one thing, folks, I want to finish up with this. It's really off topic. I'm sorry, a couple of you, I didn't get back in there. Dale, did you want to say something real quick or not?
Brother, man, let me tell you what. We say prayer and action, but we fail this one thing. It's called prayer, preparation, and action. I watched that speech yesterday, and people can, they want to naysay me. And I looked at that, and I said, let me ask you this. I said, what are you doing with your kids? What are you doing with your arrows? I said, you're sitting here judging me about this. And I said, I'm actually teaching my children yesterday. I'm teaching them on the story of Saul, Samuel, and how Eli's own kids were rebellious against God. I said, I'm teaching my child on the Revolutionary War and the Great Awakening and the Abeka material. I said, we've sacrificed our careers to prepare our arrows for war. I said, yet you want to send your kids to public school, and then you're going to scratch your head because they're being indoctrinated by that garbage. And so here it is. This is what I was teaching my child yesterday, right there, brother. The American War for Independence. I'm teaching them this. I'm teaching them God's word in the book of Samuel. And people want to, they're scratching their heads. They're wondering why. They've got, you remember the story of Jehochabed? You remember him? The one who the Lord found favor because all of the ancestry never allowed alcohol to touch their lips. Brother, we have drinking the poison of our prosperity. We have rejected our posterity, just like you said at the beginning of the show. This is what we have done. So I'll just be quiet. But brother, man, it's more than just prayer. You better be making preparation.
Amen. Let me leave you with this one. I only got a minute left here. I came across this video, and I don't know the ramifications of it, but I'm just going to put this out there and let it ruminate. They have found in the San Diego Zoo that the gorillas are getting COVID-19. Huh? Go ahead.
Life in our care. Our gorilla troop has tested positive for SARS-CoV-2, which is the virus that causes COVID-19. We decided to test the troop because we saw some mild symptoms that are similar to those that humans would experience. And at that point, out of an abundance of caution, we thought it would be best to understand if they were in fact exposed to the virus. So we did fecal testing on the gorillas, and we sent out those tests and got a tentative positive on Friday. On Monday, we received a confirmed positive from the USDA veterinary lab. So we suspect that the gorillas got this virus from an asymptomatic team member. And that's despite all of the precautions that we take. We follow CDC guidelines. We follow San Diego County health guidelines. The team wears PPE around all of our wildlife. And so even with all those precautions, we still have an exposure that we think happened with that team member.
Except for some congestion and coughing, the gorillas are all doing well.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
notice they did fecal testing on them. They didn't stick a swab up their nose.
No, they didn't. They didn't do that, folks. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Even so, come Lord. Hey, listen. We're going to win. I don't know what victory looks like, but we're going to win. We're going over. We're not going under. We're going to win this thing. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.